Our reading from the Bible today is taken from a book known as John, chapter 3, verse 16. And these are the words of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. About 8 days ago, there was a massive earthquake down in Colombia in South America. And the city of Cali got hit very badly. The most recent estimates are that about 300 or more people have died. 4,600 people have been injured. And 290 people are still missing. So there are search and rescue crews going through the rubble of these buildings that have fallen down. I just can't think how difficult that work must be. And they have to be so careful and they try to move things because it could potentially kill someone who's still down underneath all of that rubble. And it's just very difficult, delicate work. At the same time, there's a sense of urgency. We've got to get to these people if there are still people alive down underneath all the rubble. And one of the things that they have to be concerned about is stopping every once in a while to listen. They let it get real quiet and listen to see if they can hear anybody down in the rubble crying or calling out for help. And then they know where to get to them. Some of the crews are using nothing but hand signals to communicate to each other because they want to make sure it's so quiet to try to find these people. It must be a really strange silence that kind of goes through that area when they're working on it. Every once in a while, the first day or two, they would hear a voice. It's been a number of days now. They haven't heard voices, but they would hear a voice. And the longest known survivor that's on record, who has survived an earthquake and building collapse like that, was 11 days. So we're coming up on the end of that time. It's been 8 or 9 days ago now. And then they have to go into what they call recovery mode, and that is to just try to find those who have died. Here in the United States, about 30 years ago, in the city of Oklahoma City, there was a bombing. Someone blew up a federal building. And there was a young woman trapped under the rubble for 7 hours and was able to talk to and communicate with a rescuer for all of that time. And they were finally able to get her out. But her leg was so severely trapped underneath one of the huge pillars of concrete. And I can't imagine how frustrating it would be, too, to be a rescuer. And you're trying to talk to someone, you know they're down there, you know they're alive, and you know they're in trouble, and yet you just can't quite get to them, and you're afraid doing too much might make it worse for them, and yet you want to make sure that they kind of hang in there, that those conversations must be very, very, very interesting. I'd like you to imagine for just a moment today that you were one of those rescuers who is trying to help someone who's now trapped down in a building like that. And you're able to communicate with someone for at least a period of time, and they're clinging to life. And imagine if in that, you know, sometimes when people are in situations where they feel like they're probably going to die, people have they get a lot of different ways of thinking about things. We talk about how people, their whole life goes before them in their mind. And sometimes people are afraid to die for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the unknown is one thing. But also there's a sense inside of all of us that there's something not right between us and this God that is up there. That there's somehow we have to answer for things in our lives that we have not done correctly. The Bible calls that sin. And it's in each one of us. Every human being has that. And so a lot of times when people are in a situation where where death is very close at hand, they start to get feelings of guilt and fear based upon a lot of those things. I remember years ago, I was a pastor right here in town, and there was a young man I had met a few times, and he didn't really think much about God or dying at all. But one day he came running into my office and wanted to talk to me so badly because he had just been to the doctor. And the doctor told him, you have a heart condition. He was only in his late 20s. You have a heart condition that could end your life any day. And it suddenly gave him a whole different perspective. And he was very afraid about dying because he knew what kind of life he had lived. He knew he had not always been the best person and so on. And so this often happens when people are facing imminent death, that they can be in that sense of fear too, and afraid of being judged by God. Now, if you were a rescuer, and you were trying to communicate to someone who is afraid of dying, and they're down in the rubble, and they're suddenly talking to you about things that they did in their life and maybe how bad they've been in their life and so on. This Bible passage is a wonderful summary of the entire Christian faith. Someone once called it's the Bible in a nutshell. If you could take all the teachings of the Bible and condense it down to the most important central part of what it teaches. Take a look at these words again. Let's just walk through them closely. It's Jesus' own words from John chapter 3. He says, God so loved the world. Now, stop there for a second. That means that the person down in the rubble you're talking to, they're part of the world, just like you and I are all part of the world. So, the fact that the Bible says that God loves the world, don't pass over that statement too fast. The Christian faith is built and designed around the concept of God's loving heart toward us and wants to have a relationship with us. So God so loves the world. Everybody in here today is part of that sentence. And then he says that he gave his only begotten son. So God sent his son who came into the world as a human being known as Jesus Christ, and he was born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, and that little child, the Bible says, was God himself. So God came into the world to be our rescuer, to get us out of our death and our problem of sin and everything. And so God sent his son into the world for every one of us, even people that don't believe in God at all, even people from wherever they're from. God sent his son, he loves the world, and he sent his son for each one of them. And he had him go and die on the cross to take all the punishment that I deserve, that you deserve, that person waiting to die deserves. All the punishment we deserve was put on God's own son in order to pay for all the things we've done wrong. So that God could now say to us, you are forgiven. There's no reason to be afraid of my judgment because I put all of my justice against our evil onto my son. And so God so loved the world, Jesus says, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is talking about himself. And then he says that whosoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, that means simply to put our trust and our confidence in him and what he's done for us. Whoever believes in him should not perish. We don't have to be afraid about what's going to happen to me after I die, but he says, would have everlasting life. And that's a phrase that means heaven, life that will go on with no end, the beautiful life that's waiting in heaven that God has prepared through the work of his son for everybody in this room and everybody in the world. So our chapel messages and our chapel services and our hymns and the Bible readings, it's really all focused around this one beautiful passage, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, whoever has faith in him in their heart, will not perish, but will have that everlasting life in heaven. And as you come to our daily chapel, you will see that is the central message of everything that the Christian faith ultimately is about. Just a couple days after that building collapsed in Colombia, they did find a man down in the rubble who was still alive, and they managed to rescue him. And when they brought him up out of that, there were probably 100 people encircling this, and they were all cheering and so excited to know that they had spared this person's life. Just imagine what the joy and excitement will be like in heaven someday for those people who now, through faith in Jesus as their Savior, are going to get to enjoy heaven forever, where there's nothing ever wrong again, and there's no chance of ever dying again. So that's what our chapel services really are all about. Let's have a prayer as we close today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving each one of us so much that you sent your Son into the world to be our Savior. We pray that you would create faith in our hearts to put our trust in him so that someday when we leave this life, we could be in your presence in heaven forevermore. We ask your hand of blessing upon this new school year. We especially pray today for the many students who have come to us from other countries, and be with them and bless them in this new year. Give us new friendships as well, and help all of us to learn more and more to know about you and your great love for us in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. We close then with verses 3 and 4 of our hymn. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Go in his peace. Amen.